Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you this week?
Doing great. How about you, Eric?
Doing fantastic. Things are moving forward and we've got some exciting things to talk about today. So, Chip, why don't you tell us what we're talking about?
About 10, 15 years ago, Jack Canfield, who was the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul and a whole lot of other things, wrote this book called The Success Principles. And he read 3,000 different how-to books on everything from personal development to business development and so on and so forth. Said he even took a speed reading course to do this kind of stuff because he wanted to have a book that captured everything that he needed to be successful and it wasn't out there. And this was the result of it. And I haven't read this one for a while, but I do have a list of all the different chapters in there and just ordered the new one because they came out with a 10-year anniversary. But, you know, the chapters are things like be clear why you're here, believe it's possible, and so on and so forth. But the very, very first chapter is called Take 100% Responsibility for Your Life. And he has a formula for it that is very, very apropos. Wasn't just apropos then, it is so much now. And the letters are E plus R equals O. The E stands for event. The O stands for response. I mean, the R stands for response and the O stands for outcome. So it's event plus response equals outcome. And the one thing that we control is the response. And he talks in the first chapter about a lot. Sometimes your automatic response to an event is, why did it happen? You start blaming people and so on and so forth. You're looking for excuses. And when you look at the state of the world these days, it's the same thing. And you start talking to other people about things when the bottom line is there's nothing you can do about the event. However, the response is something that you do own. And if you start complaining about things instead of accepting that there's nothing that you can do about the event itself, but there is something you can do about yourself moving ahead, that really is the crux to everything. And he goes on with the different chapters, be clear why you're here, decide what you want, and so on and so forth. And it's really just getting out of the victim mentality and realizing, like we've talked about in a million different ways, that the person in the mirror is in charge and how you respond to things is so important in your own personal life. But think about what's happened in this world as far as responses by people just reacting to other people saying things. Getting in public arguments on Twitter, and I'm not going to even name any names, stuff like that is really not good for anybody. And yet everybody tags along because they want to just blame everybody else for the problems that they're having themselves. So that's really the crux of the book. Number one is just take 100% responsibility for your life. And again, we've said that in so many different ways. So obviously you're very familiar with Jack Canfield and probably other things that he's done, but what do you think so far?
The equation makes perfect sense. You control your response, and that really does affect the outcome. And unfortunately, it becomes so easy to have a knee-jerk response rather than taking the time to think about what your response should be and how you can implement that response. I mean, we see it. We've seen it even just recently. Politicians are experts at the knee-jerk response. Something happens and they go, we have to pass a law. But they don't take the time to figure out, is the law actually going to do what we intend it to do? Or is it just, you know, well, we're doing something because doing something makes us feel better than doing nothing. And it's very important for people to realize there is a major difference between doing something and doing something effectively.
Yeah, and there's a major difference between talking and doing something.
And yes.
That's, you know, one of the biggest parts of the problem is that a response can be just talking about something. And then what's the outcome going to be? If somebody disagrees with you, they're going to start talking back. And what do you have there? You have conflict. And conflict sometimes results in really, really horrible things. And obviously, this has been going on since mankind was invented. But if you really, really think about that, if your response is to take a deep breath and try and understand what's going on or if it's something that's happening in the world, realizing that it's an event and you can react in a positive, supportive way instead of wanting to lambaste somebody or do this or do that. It's really, really so important. Yet this is, again, the way that we've always been brought up, in a reactionary mode. And the bottom line is, your reaction does not have to be negative. It can be deep breath, think about it, try and understand, and compromise or collaborate rather than criticize.
Yes, it's very important. Sometimes the best thing you can do is not react. Wait until you have all of the information, because that information is going to shape your response. And if you don't have all the information, if you're just rushing to react to something, the odds are you're not going to be successful in overcoming whatever the obstacle may be. In Japanese business, there's an old saying, don't fix the blame, fix the problem. And it's very important not to just jump in, oh, this happened because this person did this, or this happened because of this, or the blame does not matter. It's the situation that matters. And you want to fix it so that it doesn't happen again. Or if it's a good event we're referring to, that it does happen again. But it's all about how you respond to it and making sure you actually have all of the information available and you take a calm, considered approach to it. We all know, you know, it feels good to respond to something. We want to feel that we're doing something. But feeling you're doing something is not the same as actually doing something. So you need to consider whatever your response is.
Yeah, and I mean, the response, if it's something, obviously it feels good to blow off a little bit of steam and get upset about someone and something. But if you can keep it to yourself before it gets out of hand, I mean, we've talked before about Abraham Lincoln writing letters that he never sent, and other people, you know, just recently writing emails to express your frustrations, but never clicking that send button and so on and so forth. The bottom line is that the quality of life you are experiencing, this is a quote, is a result of how you are responding to the events rather than the events themselves. So it's how you respond to the events rather than the events themselves, because again, there's nothing that you can do about it. What is, what is. What's just happened has just happened.
Right. The event is essentially a moment in time. Your response to that event is what propels everything forward. So making sure that you actually take the time, step back, take a deep breath, investigate what actually happened, why it happened, who it happened to. Get all of the information that you can before jumping in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we're talking about personal reactions and reactions to things that are going on. But I mean, this is a success showcase, and we like to talk about business principles and so on and so forth. And this is so apropos in the workplace. I mean, there's often times when people have knee-jerk reactions in the workplace that causes problems amongst employees, that really, really drags down the whole chemistry of the system, which drags down performance and profitability and all that.
That's very true. A reaction to an event is, in effect, an event of its own. So what happens when you have that knee-jerk reaction is that you've just created an event that somebody else is going to react to. And that reaction is going to cause an event that you're going to react to. And when you don't take the time and you don't look at all the options, that quick back and forth escalates the problem. It happens in workplaces, it happens in families, and I can't think of a better example than it happens online on Facebook and Twitter. Somebody will post something and somebody else will get very angry and they'll post something back. And it just suddenly escalates into this huge argument where nobody really wins. They just get more and more aggravated.
Yeah, I mean, there are no winners to conflicts. There are a lot of winners when you compromise. And really the key to that is assessing the situation.
Right, that and that assessment is key. And that assessment can take time. And the fact is that's the reason most people don't accurately assess a situation, because they don't want to take the time to look at it. They want to react and feel that they're taking action, they're doing something. But when you do that, the action you're taking isn't necessarily helpful or the right action that you would want to take, say, 6 weeks down the line when you've had more time to look at the situation.
Yeah, and taking the time to react and taking a deep breath, that's action also. That's planning. Before you
yes. Do- yes, that planning is an important part of your response. It's an important part of your action. People have actually laughed at what I was doing when I have gotten into political discussions online. And with my post, I actually have included essentially footnotes as to where all of the data I'm citing is coming from. Now, obviously, this is not something you can just react and do. It takes, well, wait a minute. I have to take the time and look this up. But it tends to diffuse situations, because when you place all of the facts there and go, well, this is where I got that, this is where I got, it focuses the discussion on the facts rather than the emotions. You're never going to convince somebody that their emotions are wrong, but you can point out errors in fact. And it's important to take the time to figure that out. And there have been discussions where somebody else has come back with a set of facts that I did not find. And I've taken a look at that and I've changed my opinion. I've adapted it because there are more facts to consider. And that's something else that people have gotten away from and we really need to get back to, is the fact that changing your mind is not a bad thing. People get caught up in, you know, again, especially in politics, you see the commercials and the attack ads where everybody say, well, he waffled on this, he waffled on that. No, when you learn more and you get more information, you should be able to change your mind and change your perspective to encompass all of the correct information.
Life would certainly be boring if we didn't have the ability to change. We would just be on autopilot the whole time. And, you know, being human beings and creatures of curiosity, it's so, so important to listen and to study things and so on and so forth. And yes, things change, opinions change and so on and so forth. And, you know, I know I'm not the same person that I was last week or a year ago or whatever, because different things have influenced me in different ways. But it's so important to keep an open mind and to take a little pause and to analyze things and to understand, you know, what the other people are talking about too. Again, we go back to the famous, one of the principles of Stephen Covey, seek first to understand, then to be understood. It's the art of listening and really, really listening and trying to understand. And if you don't understand, repeat what the person said and that kind of thing. It really is so, so important, the way you approach things.
Right. I mean, talking about changing, how horrible would the world be if every one of us were the same person that we were when we were 14 years old? You know, you have to learn more in order to grow. And as a child, you're encouraged. But there comes a point where people go, well, that's it. I'm grown up. This is who I am. I'm not changing. I'm not, you know, getting more information. And that holds people back. The world changes. If you can't change with it, you're essentially saying, you know what? I don't really need to be successful. I don't need to be happy. I am going to create this little bubble and stay in my bubble. And while that bubble may be very comfortable, think about all the things you're missing out on.
We need to put another spin on that. As time goes on, we just, you know, we talked about respecting the fact that people do change. This is a little bit of advice in parenting and relationships and so on and so forth. You know, a lot of times people have the tendency to just hold things against people for a long period of time when, in fact, you know that people do change, and there's nobody that wants to have baggage from 5, 10, 20 years ago held over their heads for their whole life. And it's really, really tough sometimes to let go of that. But it's so important, again, response, to respond by realizing that people have changed, that there's a lot of good in people. And if I respond by encouraging people and realizing that the past is past and the potential is potential and there's a bright future ahead there, that is a really, really fantastic way to look things. And with a positive response that way, you're going to have a positive outcome instead of people just feeling horrible for their whole lives about something that happened 20 years ago.
All right. There's a saying I heard, holding a grudge is like letting somebody live rent-free in your head.
and it's a lousy apartment.
Yes. You don't want to be obsessing about something that happened, I mean, weeks, months, years ago. We need to be able to move past. And that's part of the response to an event, is understanding, depending on the event, forgiveness. But you really do want to be able to adapt and move on. If you have something that you can't move on from, no matter what that event is, it could be a major trauma. It could be something fairly minor that you just can't let go of. Whatever the situation is, it always pulls you back. So no matter how much progress you make in other parts of your life, this one event will keep pulling you back if you can't figure out how to deal with it and how to move on from it. And sometimes, as hard as it is to do, we have to say, okay, you know, there's nothing I can do about that.
And yeah, if you turn around by starting to develop a positive mindset practice. I mean, we've talked before about overpowering negatives with positives, and we've also talked about the now is the now and the past is the past. And that's where it's so important to do that. I mean, your reaction to that chronic negative event that just keeps bringing you down could be, I'm going to start a positivity practice and I'm going to start trying to overcome that. And if that's not going to work, I'm going to get myself some help to get there. But that's a reaction too.
All right. And that brings up another point. For some reason, as a society, we have started acting as though asking for help is a sign of weakness. It's not. Nobody, no matter how capable, no matter how well-adjusted, no matter how talented they are, can do everything by themselves. We all need help with things. We always stand taller when we're standing on someone else's shoulders. So reach out to people. If there's something you can't do on your own, find someone to help you. That assistance can be crucial.
And the bottom line is, people do love helping other people. That's just the way we were born, and we don't go back and realize that too often. And that could be a response, an automatic response when something negative happens. is that I'm born to give, I'm born to help. The person in the mirror is a cool person, and that's the core of who I am. And if you can get that developed, I know it's easier said than done, but if that's something that you consciously work on, that response will give you some really, really great outcomes moving ahead.
All right. And, you know, we've said it's not a big deal to ask for help. Everybody should do it when they have to. Offering help is just as important. Being there to help somebody. And the fact of the matter is, when you help somebody else, you are helping yourself. Because the feeling you get is amazing. There are people, I will just send them random texts because I know it's going to make them laugh, it's going to make them smile. And the fact that I have the ability to make them smile, that can push me through almost anything that I encounter during the day. Because I know, okay, you know, I may be having a problem with this one situation. I'm working on it. We'll get past it. But I know I've got the ability to help other people smile, to help other people get past it. It tells me, okay, we can do this.
Yeah, and that's the real you. And that's really the real everybody. It is in everybody to do that. It's fun to pull it out, too. And just as you said, the feeling that you get when you just go and unsolicitedly help somebody and they just go, wow, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. The more you help, the better you feel about yourself. And when you feel better about yourself, you're less likely to have that knee-jerk reaction when the situation comes up, which, you know, brings us full circle, talking about how we can avoid that knee-jerk reaction and really take the time to figure out what your response to a situation should be. And the more you analyze it, the more you figure out what it is, the better that response will be. But part of that key is the self-confidence to know you don't have to respond immediately. You can take the time to get it right.
Yeah, and one of the things that you can do, getting back to the professional side of things, How to Win Friends and Influence People is a book that you and I have reviewed before. Part 4 is leadership qualities, how to change people without giving offense or arousing resentment. And these are apropos to life, period. And some of these things are beginning with praise and honest appreciation, talking about your own mistakes before criticizing, asking questions instead of giving orders, let the other person save face. I love this one. Give the person a fine reputation to live up to using encouragement. And the bottom line is, by you acting like that with people as opposed to looking for faults, but again, you talked about looking for solutions to fix the problem. By you acting like that, it's automatically going to help you be a more positive person. It's going to help you with your reactions and your responses to other situations in your life, which were formerly negative, just because that's the way you are starting to treat people. So if you can consciously start working on some of those qualities yourself and dealing with other people, that's going to help out a lot with your responses moving ahead.
Absolutely. When you expect the best out of people, they tend to prove you right. If you expect somebody to be a screw up, they'll tend to prove you right. So give them the benefit of the doubt. Expect the best from people. They will tend to live up to your expectations.
Yeah, basically, if you want to get other people to stop complaining and criticizing, stop giving them things to criticize and complain about. And if you can act this way towards them, at least when they're with you, you're going to help them do that.
Remember, most people, no matter what they're doing, right or wrong, are taking that action because they think it's the best action to take. So if you accept that, you can then say, well, wait a minute, how can we make this better? Or I'm not sure this is going to work. Let's see if we can come up with options. But when you assume that they are saying what they say or doing what they do out of a positive reason, because they think this is the best thing to do, it helps keep your knee-jerk reaction down, because you go, okay, they think this is what's best. It's when people think that they're out to get them, that they're taking a shortcut because they just don't want to do something. That's when people get aggravated, when they get upset. So by giving someone the benefit of the doubt, not only do you help mitigate conflicts, but by changing your perspective to say, okay, well, why do they think that's best? It opens the door for you to learn more, for you to get more information, and either help formulate your response better, or help you help someone else formulate their response better.
And it rubs off on them too, because if you're treating them that way, they realize how good they feel by being treated that way too. And subconsciously, that's something that they're going to remember, and it will help them act more positively in their responses moving ahead just by having been exposed to somebody like you who's treating them that way.
All right. Nobody wants to spend time with someone who's constantly finding fault with them, that's constantly criticizing them. You tend to avoid those people. And in practice, most of the time, when people are constantly finding fault, constantly criticizing, it's because they're insecure about who they are. So they're projecting that. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Project your own self-confidence. And remember, nobody is perfect. Nobody has to be. We can work together to overcome each other's deficits.
Absolutely.
So we're just about out of time for this episode. So, Chip, what would you say is the big takeaway from this?
The golden rule states, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's all in your response. Make it positive. Take a deep breath. Make it positive.
I absolutely agree. I think the takeaway really is, no matter what happens, it can be good or bad depending on the response. Something good can come out of every tragedy. Something bad can come out of every success, depending on your response. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app or the iTunes Store or wherever you find your podcasts. Remember, make this week your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.